Lightspeed.
Hello and welcome to a Lightspeed Short Shot. My name is Susan Hanfield, and I'm delighted to be your host for this flash fiction podcast. As an actor and audiobook narrator, some of the most captivating stories that I've had the pleasure of narrating have appeared right here on Lightspeed Magazine. Coming up next is another such gem. Let's take a listen to further examination and capture of candle skulls associated with the Baba Yaga by Mari Ness, narrated by yours truly, right after this message.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
And we're back. This is Susan Hanfield, and now it's time to buckle up. We're going to Lightspeed.
Recent scholarship has shed considerable light on many previously puzzling or mysterious aspects of the life of the Baba Yaga, or, as some would still have it, the Baba Yagas. But one element has remained largely unstudied, and indeed, almost completely ignored. The remarkable candle skulls that typically illuminated her houses and the pathways to them. This oversight is almost inexplicable, given not just the natural scholarly interest in the macabre, but by the inherent magical and economic potential suggested by these skulls. More so than the chicken legs that have proven so fatally attractive to so many researchers. After all, the chicken legs, remarkable as they are, have but limited commercial potential, given that they can only be attached to small huts, activated by at least 3 drops of the Baba Yaga's blood, and to no other dwellings or vehicles. And while many of these huts certainly appear charming at first glance, at least to those with a certain taste for the rustic and the alarming, attaching these dwellings to modern sewage and electrical systems, including those offered at RV parks, has proven difficult to impossible. The legs themselves present additional problems once attached, though they are, by all appearances, tireless. They are also regrettably slow, difficult to direct, and unceasingly hungry. As scholars, we cannot but mourn the many lives lost in discovering their defects for so little financial gain, particularly when the cost of no less than 27 destroyed RV parks are factored into those costs. These defects do not apply to the candle skulls, which offer, we believe, many benefits. By all accounts, the candles provide reliable, if flickering, light, require no electricity or other power source, can be dimmed or brightened by simple voice command, and can be tailored into a personal alert system. They also appear to function quite well in nearly every environment, from luxury palaces and condos to run-down RV parks. Why, then, have these skulls not been given the same attention as the chicken legs, and other aspects of the Baba Yaga, or Baba Yagas, leaving us ignorant on so many matters regarding their manufacture and maintenance. Who, for instance, were the owners of these skulls? And did they release their skulls willingly or unwillingly? How do the skulls show such little damage from near-constant lighting? What is their energy source? How do they sense approaching visitors? To answer these questions, and the more critical question of why, we could not find a single article on this subject, we gathered 7 eager young scholars in their 1st through 5th years of training and charged them to study every reference on the subject, interview any and all witnesses to the skulls, and chase the houses of the Baba Yaga that had survived the unfortunate prior RV park incidents. We ourselves remained available for questions during certain phases of the moon, and were able to give our students the most recent contact information available, including cell phone numbers and email addresses, for every living creature who had claimed to see one of the skull candles. Unfortunately, one of our scholars vanished shortly after entering the Sackler Library of Monstrosities, a consequence, we fear, of not following the library's instructions as precisely as scholarship and the library's regulations would require. A second disappeared after choosing to spend the night in an RV park, speculated to have been recently visited by the Baba Yaga, or Yagas. A third claimed to be bitten by footnotes discussing the Baba Yaga. And while we treated this claim with the dubiousness it deserved, that scholar, by necessity, needed to be dismissed from the project. A fourth, to our dismay, was found actually chewing on glowing skulls. That these skulls were later found to be elaborately decorated sugar skulls created by mortals by no means mitigated the enormity of the error. This scholar, too, was dismissed. The remaining 3 sent irregular messages now and then, mostly on stained oak leaves. We were largely unable to review their progress, but trusted in their ambition and stated prior interest in skulls. 7 years into the progress, one of us received a gray skull, warm to the touch, possibly human in origin. Attempts to make it light largely failed until, quite by accident, a young child left a small doll nearby, at which point a light inside the skull flared up for an instant before dimming again. Further dolls left near the skull by adults or children had no effect, but we were encouraged enough to send out messages to our remaining scholars, urging them to redouble their efforts or send us more skulls. 7 years later, we received 7 spun sugar skulls that, when touched, left burn marks on our hands. We recognize that our efforts so far, combined with the apparent loss of 7 promising young scholars, may seem discouraging. But despite this, we would ask the council to continue to fund another 7 or 9 young scholars for another 7 or 9 years of research. Think of the advantages. The project so far has already rid us of 4 scholars, possibly 7. Clearly incapable of handling this level of research before they were assigned to projects that might have caused general harm, and identified yet another RV park that might be well to avoid. More importantly, we must stress the importance of discovering why these skulls are so difficult to study, and the benefits of a lighting source that can also work as an alarm system and deter intruders at what we presume is a most reasonable cost. We are available to answer any questions you may have and await your positive reply. The Candled Circle of Witches, Gainesville, Florida Branch.
And we're back. This is Susan Hanfield. You have been listening to Further Examination and Capture of Candle Skulls Associated with the Baba Yaga by Mari Ness, narrated by me, Susan Hanfield.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.
This story was taken from the pages of Lightspeed Magazine, which is edited by John Joseph Adams. The podcast is produced by Skyboat Media, and the story and podcast are copyright 2024. I'm Susan Hanfield. Thank you for listening.